to you, ladies and gentlemen. This here is Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com. I'm your host with her name in the title, Amelia Dalton. This week, my fish frying fans were bringing analog into the fold. Oh yes, and not only that, but configurable analog. What the what? I know. Like the Yeti, maybe the Loch Ness Monster, or perhaps whatever the heck the Chupacabra is, configurable analog has been a mostly PowerPoint myth until now. My guest this week is Martin Mason from Maxim Integrated Products, and he's bringing configurable analog and a boatload of pixies with him. I know, even sounds like a mythical creature, but I assure you, it's not. Please welcome Martin to Fish Fry. Oh, and check this out. I'm giving away some pixies. Yes, I am. After the broadcast. Yes, I said after. Head on over to facebook.com/EEJournal and like this episode of Fish Fry. And bam, you've been entered to win one of five kits I have to give away. Oh, yes, and of course, I'll give you more information about this pixie kit later on in the show. Welcome to Fish Fry, Martin. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, Amelia. Great to be here.
So, Martin, is pixie finally the elusive, programmable analog?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know if I have all the answers to be able to really nail that for you, but we think we've done a lot of very interesting things that make this a very useful analog product and maybe at the same time give the customer a great deal of flexibility and programmability, which may solve a lot of their ultimate problems when they look at analog subsystems and integrating analog on their boards.
So Martin, I'm mostly a digital chick, but if I'm not that big of an expert at analog, will I be able to use Pixie in something like my FPGA design or my MCU?
Yeah, so the Pixie product is really designed to sit alongside some high-performance digital subsystems, whether they be microprocessors or FPGAs. The Pixie architecture has a number of analog and digital capabilities built into each of the I/O, and the way you program those capabilities is through a SPI or I2C interface. It connects the device to your digital subsystem. So ideally, you would use the Pixie alongside maybe an FPGA or a microcontroller to get some high-performance analog, such as a 10-volt input through an analog-to-digital converter, or maybe you want to drive a minus 6.3-volt analog output from a DAC. That can be done very easily with the Pixie architecture. We provide up to 20 pins that can be individually programmed to individual functionality and different voltage levels. Interfacing those with an FPGA or a microcontroller is really very straightforward through either the SPI or I2C interface that you would use to talk to that digital product. So overall, it's really there as a highly integrated mixed signal integrated product. You could think of it almost like a PLD sitting alongside your FPGA or microcontroller. Now, in addition, there are a couple of things that we've done on this part to really try and make it very easy for users of microcontrollers or FPGAs to get up to speed with the product. First of all, on the software side, it's a simple drag-and-drop software tool that we have that allows you to take each of the mixed signal capabilities and hook them up to pins inside the part very easily. With a push of a button, you get a hex dump file, which can be used to integrate directly into your microcontroller code, or you can take that text file and also store it alongside your FPGA programming code in non-volatile memory, and when your FPGA boots up, then suck that data out of the non-volatile memory and send it down to the Pixie product. To make prototyping easy for those FPGA and microcontroller products, we have a couple of different boards. We have an EV kit that uses an FMC controller that will work with most of the FPGAs that are available in the marketplace today. And we also have a very low-cost PMOD board that will plug into many microcontroller or FPGA development kits and allow you to talk to the part again through I2C or SPI very easily and quickly over the PMOD standard interface. That board, I think, is something like $27 available from our website. Very cost-effective and easy way to kind of kick the tires, if you like, on the Pixie technology and try it out. The software, of course, is free and available for download from the Maxim website.
Now, Martin, why would I use Pixie instead of just discrete analog components?
Well, of course, the Pixie benefits are numerous, and I like to tell a little story when people ask me that question. I started in the electronics industry 20 years ago, and at the time, TTL logic was all the rage, and PLDs were just starting to emerge on the scene. When you think about PLDs, really what they were doing was taking tens or hundreds of TTL devices and sucking them up into a single programmable device with very deterministic pin-to-pin delays from the inputs to the outputs. We want to try and do the same sort of thing for programmable analog. That programmable analog capability really requires determinism to give high performance, and customers are demanding from us the ability to do a highly integrated product where in the past they've maybe used a discrete device or technology. So you get the benefits of integration, that smaller size. Pixie, for example, is 6 by 6 millimeters squared. You get a low power, very dense, very capable product, along with high voltage capabilities that can be programmed on a pin-by-pin basis. Many customers akin this to creating a platform product that allows them to do one design or PCB layout and then use that in multiple of their end designs or products as they get different requirements from their systems. So you get all the benefits of programmability, you get all the benefits of high integration, it's a very elegant and easy to design system, and you get very deterministic results. And one of the things that concern a lot of people when they try and either use programmable analog in the past or even try and do discrete analog design is, can I get a deterministic design? Can I get something which I know exactly how it's going to work and what sort of performance I'm going to get out of that system? And one of the beauties with Pixie is that we give you guaranteed datasheet specs no matter how you hook the pins up on the Pixie device to the outside world. So it's really solved, I think, the analog integration problem, and it solves the programmable analog is tough problem by giving you a single device that is both highly integrated yet deterministic.
All right, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, Martin, I know you're a bit of a fisherman. Where's the best place in the whole world that you've gone fishing?
Now, if I told you the best place in the whole world where I'd gone fishing, then everybody would want to go.
That's true.
But let me tell you a place that I'm going to very shortly here. As many of your listeners in North America will know, 4th of July is coming up here, and that's a big holiday for most Americans. So I usually go with my family up to a little place called Pinecrest. It's just north of Yosemite and south of Lake Tahoe, if you look on one of those big old Google map things. And it is one of the most beautiful places, I think, in the entire world, and they have some great trout fishing up there. And that's probably what we'll be doing over the 4th of July this year.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Martin. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay, thank you, Amelia. Have a great 4th of July.
If my interview with Martin wasn't enough for you, if you're dying for more information about Maxim's ventures into configurable analog, you should really check out Kevin Morris's recent article entitled BFFs for FPGAs, Maxim Debuts Pixie Programmable Analog. And, of course, I've included a link that will take you directly to this article below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Now, what could be better than configurable analog? A real food replicator? Duh. Come on. Now, if you know me, the real me, the real me who dances in the living room when no one's around and sings Jay-Z at the top of her lungs at red lights, then you will know that I love my Nespresso coffee maker. Heck, I couldn't stop inviting people over when I got my new one. And no, they aren't paying me to say this, although if they would like to pay me, I certainly wouldn't object. Well, the folks that brought us the Nespresso coffee maker is gunning to make food replicators a reality. Oh, yes. The folks at Nestle, within their Institute of Health Sciences, is launching a new program called Iron Man, with the hopes of treating brain, metabolic, and gastrointestinal disorders with new foods and beverages made from, get this, a Star Trek-type food replicator. I know, come on. All right, well, it is down the road a bit, but still, a real food replicator? So cool. But how are they getting there? Well, Nestle's Institute of Health Sciences isn't just trying to reproduce one of the coolest gadgets in sci-fi history. No, they're trying to solve the world's nutrient deficiency at the same time. As you may know, most of the world suffers from one form of nutrient deficiency or another. Recent statistics coming out of the Children's Hospital Oakland Research Institute say that most of the world's population doesn't get enough of one or more of the 30 essential vitamins, and apparently, Americans are especially deficient in vitamin D and magnesium. Who knew? So, Nestle's Institute of Health Sciences and its team of over 110 scientists are working on various projects to discover links between vitamin and mineral deficiencies and illnesses like cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease through the study of molecular biomarkers. Now, these biomarkers can identify each person's nutrient profile. Think of it as a fingerprint for your body. And here comes the cool part, the Iron Man program part. The Iron Man program hopes to bring a Nespresso-type machine. Maybe it would sit next to your toaster or perhaps someday replace your microwave. That could create tailored supplements with specific levels of vitamins or nutrients. And first, these supplements would come in a powder form, like those Nespresso coffee capsules that I love so much. All right, I hear you loud and clear. Powdered capsules does not a food replicator make. And yes, you are right. But Nestle has that on the horizon. No, it's not coming first or soon or in this decade, probably. But if they have their way, your food will come out complete with all the vitamins and nutrients you need at the press of a button. I can't wait. If you want more information about Nestle's Institute of Health Sciences, this Iron Man program, or what the heck this nutrient profile is all about, I've included a bunch of links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, mostly because I geeked out on this stuff the other day and I thought, well, you guys might like to too. All right, here it is. Time for this week's super awesome nerdy giveaway, courtesy of Maxim Integrated Products. The Pixie! Yes, folks, you heard me right. This week and this week only, I am giving away 5 of the super cool Pixie kit. All you have to do to enter to win is to like this post on Facebook. That's it. Totally easy. Facebook.com/EEJournal. Fish fry, like button. Bam, you're done. So, what will you get with one of these Pixie kits? The Max 11300 integrates a Pixie 12-bit multi-channel analog-to-digital converter and a 12-bit multi-channel buffered digital-to-analog converter. This device also offers 20 mixed-signal high-voltage bipolar ports, which are configurable as an ADC analog input, a DAC analog output, a general purpose input port, a general purpose output port, or an analog switch terminal. Come on, guys. How cool is that? Adjacent pairs of ports are configurable as logic level translators for open drain devices or an analog switch. Custom designs are easily created using the Max 11300 configuration GUI software. And the Pixie ports provide highly flexible hardware configuration for 12-bit mixed signal applications. So, again, if you want a chance to win one of 5 of these super cool Pixie kits, like this episode on Facebook, or even click the widget on the page on eejournal.com, and I will pick 5 winners by the end of the week and send along in the mail. Have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us yet again at facebook.com/EEJournal. There will be no stupid memes, political garbage, or cat videos. I promise. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if you're into Google Plus, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. Cool. We also have a YouTube channel full of all kinds of techie videos, our very own popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our new video series called On the Scene. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, even if your company makes it, I mean, come on, or any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or maybe the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, because I love that stuff, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 27th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.